The title of today's sermon is Holy Spirit Power. Can we say that together? Amen. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we're reading verses 34 to 35, just two verses. Luke chapter 1, 34 to 35. Yes, who would like to read Luke 1, 34 to 35? New King James, New Living. Luke 1, 34 to 35. Please try to concentrate. Try not, make sure young people, make sure you're not distracted on your phone. Even adults, don't be on another app, just on your Bible apps, on your notes, and myself. Give God this next 15 minutes full concentration. Amen. That's why you came. That's why you came. You came for him. But go on, please. Luke 1, 34 to 35.
Luke 1, 34, New King James Version. Then Mary said unto the angels, how can this be, since I do not know a man? 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy Spirit, that Holy One who is to be born, will be called the Son of God.
Amen. Thank you for that. I like it. What version was that? New King James. Okay, another version. New Living. Luke 1, 34 to 35. Who's ready? Please listen.
NLT.
Yes.
Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God.
Amen. 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 So we're talking about the Holy Spirit power. So the angel Gabriel came to Mary. And Mary was what? A virgin. And this angel is coming and saying, you're going to be pregnant. And you're going to conceive. Yeah? And you're going to bear the Son of God. And you call his name Jesus. And Mary was like, how can this what? Be, because I don't know a man. Amen. I'm a virgin. Hallelujah. I imagine that Mary was probably 16, 17, 18. That's my guess. Let's just say 18 for the benefit of our young people. Amen. How can this be? I don't know a man. The law of nature, if the angel came and said, you know what? God is going to give you a husband, and within 1 year, you're going to have a baby. That's more believable. Yeah? Sometimes getting a husband can be difficult, but it's still an easier problem than for a virgin to what? Conceive. So how can this be? So the angel said, he said, the Holy Spirit, I want you to take note of that, because we're going back, we're going to look at that in Acts. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will do what? Come upon you. I want you to imagine it. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, everything is possible. Amen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Mary was a virgin, but how is Mary, a virgin, going to have a baby without a man? The Holy Spirit will what? Come upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what happens next? That the power. See, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what happens next is a release of power. Amen. He said the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will do what? Will overshadow you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the power of God, yeah, it comes through. It's released on you. And you need power. Hallelujah. You need power. Because in life, yeah, you're going to contend, whether you like it or not, with the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Did he say power? In the Lord and in the what? Power. Ephesians 6:10. He said, why? He said, well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are already there. There is a warfare already, whether you like it or not. No, it's not flesh and blood. In fact, actually, the devil can use flesh and blood to contend against you. But he's the puppeteer. He's the one behind them. Amen? You see, when God wants to walk in your life, the devil raises up people to trip you up. And if you're not careful, they will trip you up. Amen? That's why the Bible tells us this. Let every man, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to me this weekend, let every man be quick to hear. James chapter 1. Slow to speak and slow to anger or slow to wrath. Because once you are angry or once you are offended, you have opened a leeway for the devil to drain you. He will drain you. Amen? He will drain you. That's what he came to do. Jesus was fasting. Jesus fasted for 40 days. And I tell you something, when you fast, it's also a key to power. If you read the fasting of Jesus, the Spirit of God, led Jesus returned from the Jordan, and the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But if you read that story, after he was tempted, the Bible says he returned in the power. Amen? He went to the wilderness in the Spirit, but he returned what? In the power. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, but after Jesus has fasted, the devil came to trip him up and drain all his anointing. The devil will use the flesh or try to use the flesh to drain the anointing of God upon your life. You know why? He wants you to be ordinary. Ordinary and struggling. Amen. Hallelujah. But you are going to say no. Someone say no. No to you, devil. It's a good thing to say. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You are not having me. You're not having me. I don't know about you. Amen. When the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, his power will overshadow you. Hallelujah. Then the impossible becomes what? Possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how the Virgin Mary conceived. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if the virgin can consider the power of the Holy Spirit, what is impossible? Yeah? With God. How many times have you heard that a virgin conceived? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I need the Holy Spirit power. Amen. You see, I don't want to set to for spiritual mediocrity. You're just patching it along. You're just patching it along. That's not God's plan for your life. God doesn't want you just to be crawling along. Managing along. Yeah, just patching it. Hallelujah. God wants you to be powerful. That's the plan. Amen. Let's open to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Before verse 8, let's read Acts chapter 1 verse 4 to 5 first. And then we will take it on. 4 to 5. Acts 1, 4 to 5. Yes, someone else? Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Yes, any reader? Please listen.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, He, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Amen. John the Baptist, he baptized with water. It was a baptism of repentance. Amen. You see, the message that God gave John the Baptist was repentance. In fact, if you see the pattern, you understand that repentance precedes salvation. That's why, to prepare the way for Jesus the Savior, he had to send for us what? John. And the message of John was what? Repent. Amen. That's the foundation. It's the foundation. That's why Peter in Acts was saying, repent and believe. Amen. So, the baptism of water is a baptism of repentance. Hallelujah. So, John baptized with what? Water. But that is not the end of your Christian journey. Because God does not want you to spend your whole Christian life repenting and repenting and repenting and repenting. Amen? He has something more for you. Amen? He has something more. Repentance is important, but don't stop there. Hallelujah. John baptized with water. But you will be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit. Amen? Repentance is important, but so also is the power. If you don't have power, you'll be ordinary. Everything will be bashing you. You'll just be repenting. Amen? Hallelujah. Without power, you will know the scriptures. You can even be very good in the Bible. Yeah? But life will be bashing you about. Amen? To be a true witness of Jesus, you need his power. Amen? You see, Jesus was not bashed about. I mean, Jesus was not a rich man. He didn't have a fat back account. He didn't. Unless you didn't read your Bible right. However, his every need was met. Amen? Every need was met. Every need was met. Even when he needed a grave, it was produced. Amen. Hallelujah. That's God's plan. God's plan for your life is that every need should be what? Met. Every need. Hallelujah. Jesus was not kicked about by sickness and disease. Yeah? He wasn't just good in the word of God. He was also flowing in the power of God. Amen? So sickness and disease could not settle on him. Because he had what? He had power. Jesus was not oppressed by demons. Amen? Do you know what he did? He cast them out. Hallelujah. He cast them out. He cast them out. Hallelujah. He cast them out. Because he had power. God does not want you to be oppressed by demons. Whether in your waking or in your sleeping. Hallelujah. When you have power in the Holy Spirit, they run from you. And even if they show up, you command them what? Out! In the name of Jesus! That's the life. Amen? That's the life. John baptized with water. But that's not the end of the journey. I have come to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now open your Bible to Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. Let's just repeat that point. My goal today is just to stimulate your desire. Because all starts with desire. Amen? If you are going to have more of the Holy Spirit, it starts with what? Your desire. If your desire is faulty, you are finished. You have no desire, you have nothing. It's not coming your way. Because you don't desire it. Wait, but once you start desiring it, you are moving closer. Bible says, ask and you shall what? Receive. Don't stop there. Seek And you shall what? That's more intense. Seeking is more intense than asking. Amen? You can sit down in your seat and ask. Amen? When you are seeking, what will you do? You get moving. Amen? Hallelujah. Hey, don't stop there. He said, knock. That's more intense. Hallelujah. It's what? More intense. You know, so when you read that Bible verse, and I'm jumping, yeah? Open to Luke 11. Let's take you there. Let's take you to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. Let me have the youngest person here to read. Where's the mic again? Luke 11, 9 to 13. Luke 11, 9 to 13. Please pay attention to what the Holy Spirit will show you there. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit power.
So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you.
Wait. Luke 11, you're not doing anything wrong. It's just me. Yeah? Or the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it works like that. Okay. I want to show you something there. That's why I said you should wait. So we're still in Luke 11, yes?
Yeah.
Read to me verse 8 first, before 9. So I want you to see the context, because you see, Luke 11, 9 says, so I say. So it is depending on something said before. Another version we say, therefore. Go on then, verse 8.
I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs.
Okay, so first of all, I just give you the background. The background of Luke 11. When you have time, go back and read Luke 11. Luke 11 starts with disciples coming to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because John also taught his disciples how to pray. Then he began a series of teachings on prayer. One of them was the model prayer. But that's not all he taught. He now said, you know, a friend comes, goes to his friend at night, and say, I need, you know, lend me 3 loaves, because I have a friend who has come, yeah, at night, and there's no more, you know, bread to give. Yeah? And then the other friend will say, well, but I'm in bed. My children are in bed. Don't disturb me. Yeah? And then Jesus is now saying that, although that friend will not rise, because, you see, the circumstance is not favorable. The request is legitimate. It's not a bad request. It needs a bread for what? His friend. I want you to understand. We are not talking about just any request. There is a legitimate request that is provided for. Yeah? He needs bread for his friend. Now, to that friend sleeping, it is a sensible request in terms of, it's not a wayward request. Bread for what? His friend. Are you following? Please understand the principles there. Yeah? But the timing was not favorable. Or just generalize, the circumstances was not favorable. Sometimes not timing. Sometimes it could be other things. Sometimes the circumstances that affect your prayer and the ability to receive from God could be the people around you and their unbelief. Yeah? Sometimes it could be your own unbelief. Sometimes it could be, you know, there could be a multiple load of factors all around you. Yeah? That have already set you back. Yeah? They set you back on your path to receiving from God. Yeah? They set you back. You know, like you are negative. You are standing on negative. Yeah? But Jesus said, although the man will not rise to give him because he's his friend. I want you to understand. This person also had relationship. So now, if he was a stranger coming to ask for bread, it's a different case. But this is his friend. He has a standing. I want you to understand your prayer life. There are some things you are praying for that you have a standing with God. Amen? You are a son. You are a friend. But there are still some things that you will not get because some circumstances are not favorable. It is not the relationship that was the problem here. It is not the type of request that was the problem here. It was the timing of the request. So some requests you make, you're a child of God, the request is valid, but some other things, there are some other barriers somewhere. Some that you know, some that you don't know. They are the ones delaying your breakthrough or your answer. Yeah? Or your crossing over to the other side. Amen? So Jesus is not teaching us a principle there. He said, although he will not rise to give him, because he's his friend. So it's not the relationship that will cater for this problem here. Yeah? However, because of his importunity, or another word for that is his shameless persistence. Is what? Is what? Shameless what? Persistence. He knows what he wants. He knows it's legitimate. Yeah? He understands that he needs it now. And he stays there. He keeps knocking, and he keeps knocking. He keeps knocking because he's not going to negotiate this, because he's very convinced that this is the need and it is right. The man will rise to give. And Jesus is teaching us about prayer. Okay, now read in verse 9. So that's the background to verse 9. Go on then.
So I say to
you. So, because of this principle I've just taught you, I'm saying to you, ask. And you shall what? Receive. Now you already understand that you get the mindset there that when you are asking, you also have to factor in the shameless what? Persistence. Unless you are not convinced that what you are asking is right. Amen. You don't need to persist asking the wrong thing. You could just be wasting your time. Amen. But if you know from the word of God that what you are asking is the right thing. For example, you are asking God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Or you are asking, because I tell you, being filled with the Spirit is not just a one-time experience. You are asking for more. You can be filled and what? Refilled. You can be filled with the Spirit and lose the experience. Yeah? You can run dry. You shouldn't run dry, but you can run dry because you stop drinking. Amen? You stop engaging. You stop believing. Your faith is not static, you know? Your faith is not static. You can have faith in God today. Yeah? And drift off into unbelief because you stop feeding the faith. Yeah? The world around you, whether you like it or not, is full of unbelief. Every little comment made, every little thing you watch on social media, yeah? Every little thing you watch on TV, every little interaction you have with people of the world, they are sowing unbelief into your life. They are sowing corruption into your life. They are telling you to do life in a different way that God specified. The world always lost in the wrong direction. They're always trying to distract you from God. I'm telling you, this world is there, yeah, to distract you from God. You must intentionally decide that I'm going to focus on God if you want to walk in the power of God. Hallelujah. So I say them to you, ask and you shall receive. You know, sometimes when you read the Bible, you don't understand it, yeah? It should bother you. You read that verse before. Please keep reading. I will tell you the part that bothers me there. Keep reading. So I say then,
seek and you will find, and knock and it will be opened to you.
Okay. I can take that. I get it. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will. I always say to my children, I can't call them kids now, they're growing. Amen. When there's something they want and they don't have it and they're about to moan, I say, well, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to ask. Did you ask? No. So don't complain. Amen. So I can get that. Keep going, sir. Keep going now.
For everyone who asks, receives.
That's the one that bothers me. It's the part that bothers me. It's everyone who asks, what? Receives. Continue.
And to him who knocks, it will be opened.
So Jesus said, everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door is open. So I'm asking myself, are there not many times I've asked that they don't receive anything? Yeah? Anybody here that's always received everything they ask for, whether from men or from God. Anybody. Anything you ask for, anything, is done. Whether man or God. Anybody have that experience? So I'm sure that you've gone through experience in your life where you've asked, and you know what? You see. Isn't it? So, but you said, everyone who asks, receives. It should bother you. Because I know Jesus cannot lie. Yeah? He will not lie. He is the way, he is the truth, and the life. He would rather not tell you something than to lie to you. Everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who seeks, what? Finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So, what is Jesus saying? This is the preaching, but I'm going to slow down and ask a question. Yes, please help me. I want to tell you, that, what verse was that? Matthew, Luke 11, what?
9 and 10.
No, the one that said everyone will ask.
Oh, 10.
Luke 11, 10. What is Jesus saying? No, the key is that Jesus cannot lie. Everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. What do you think Jesus was saying? Come on, help me. I can take three answers. Look, no answer can be wrong. I just want to know what you think. Yeah? So I'm not trying to say you're right or wrong. Just what you think.
I think as Christians, if we're in the spirit, we should, of course, so flesh can come in once in a while, which we would ask in line with God's will. And if we ask in line with God's will, would definitely be given what we ask God for. But if we ask outside his will, we'll not get it. So if we ask within his will, we'll get it. So that's where the problem is. If we don't ask within his will, we won't get it. That's what I think.
Thank you. Thank you for that. It's a good, you know, reflection on that. I can argue both ways against it. But I'm not arguing against your point because I hold that same point. But there are things I've asked in accordance with God's will I did not receive. I don't know about you. I knew this was the word of God. I knew it's the will of God. I asked. I did not receive. Now, I will not say anything more than that. I can qualify it. I don't want to qualify it. I'm talking about in my current experience. I've not received it. Currently. I'm just being factual with you. Then, let me also tell you another thing. There are things that you have sought after in that are not in accordance with God's will and you've got them. And it's not necessarily God. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. Look, there are things you can go for in this life that is not in accordance with God's will. But if you go for them strongly enough, you will get them. And it's not God. Even he come to give the testimony. It's not God that did it. Okay, I know. Okay, let's take another answer. Everyone who asks receives. I saw your hand. I hope my comments have not discouraged you. Okay.
Sometimes it's also the timing.
Mm-hmm.
The timing matters a lot because at times you need something, but God doesn't want that thing for you at that time. And when the time is right, it's going to come with ease. You don't even have to put in too much.
Amen. Okay, let me take one more answer. I will show you all the answers are good. If I destroy it, then I will build them. Okay. You know, Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I will build it in 3 days. He was talking about his body. That's one reason why they crucified him. He said he would destroy the temple. Eventually, that temple was destroyed. And for 1,900 years, it has not stood. There's no temple in Jerusalem. Is that not an irony? Amen. Yes, sir. Was that you? Yeah? Yeah, go for it.
Also, I think that there's a difference between our wants and our needs. The wants are driven by the flesh, and the needs is more of a connection to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I'll leave that with you for now. So you can see your answers already showing me that there are principles to prayer. Amen. You see, God is not a lawless God. Amen. He oppressed by what? Principles. That's why he gave you his word. Amen. And he exalted his word above his name. Amen. Hallelujah. God binds himself to his word. That means God has a way he operates. And you find out the way God operates in his word. God is all powerful, but he doesn't dispense his power lawlessly. Amen. He says, so if God was all powerful, why can't he just send everybody to heaven? That means there will be rebels in heaven, isn't it? Imagine everybody would go to heaven. Yeah? Some people will be smoking and drinking and womanizing in heaven. Can you imagine? Huh? Yeah, surprise. Yeah, because that's what they love to do. Amen? Is that not what they love to do? That's what they love to do. Yeah? They're in a rebellious state of heart. Yeah? So they can't fit into heaven unless there is a change. Are you with me? So God put them all there. They got it free, isn't it? So they will continue their trade. God loves me the way I am. Amen? Are you seeing that? God does not love you the way you are. God loves you despite. I just clarified. Is this, you know, there are some statements we make that sound so good, but they're not really true. Yeah? You see, when you're messed up by sin, or messed up by sickness and disease, or messed up by the devil, God doesn't want you to remain that way, does he? No. He came to set you free. He came to set the captives free. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen? But God loves you despite, yeah, your shortcomings, despite your weaknesses. And God loves you not to remain weak, broken, and defeated. He wants to mend you. Amen? He wants to cure you. Amen? He wants to clean you up. Hallelujah. He wants to lift you from the valley and take you to where? The mountaintop. He wants to lift you up from the horrible pit and set your feet on solid ground. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do in your life. Amen. So prayer has principles. You ask in accordance with to His will. You don't ask to spend on your selfish desires. Yeah? And there is a timing issue too. Amen. There's a timing issue. No matter how much you pray that Jesus will come back. Yeah? He will come back at the set time. Amen. You can't add anything to it. Amen. Amen. His first coming was at a set time. His second coming is also what? As a set time. But he has not revealed that time to you so that you can be always ready. Amen. You can't change that. Amen. You can't change that. It's a timing issue. In God's heart, some things will come to you. Yeah? But the time they come also matters. Because there's a perfect time for some things. It's not everything. Some things can come today. But other things need to come at a particular time. Because if they came earlier, they do not bless it as much. It can even cause you harm. Are you seeing? That's why it will then delay. It's like sometimes when I see a young person trying to enjoy everything life has to offer at 17. And I'm not talking about you. Amen. They're in the hurry. Yeah. They're in what? Hurry. They want to keep 10 girlfriends at 17. They're in hurry. What are you going to do? You're still going to be 49, 50, 60, 70. Yeah? You want to drive around the whole country at what? 17. Where are you rushing to? Amen? Where are you hurrying to? Take some time. Be trained. Be disciplined. Develop yourself. You have your whole life ahead. Hallelujah. The discipline you learn now is what you're going to transfer to your children if you have them. Amen. Where are you hurrying to? Amen. And you get yourself in one trouble to another because you are in a hurry. Amen. There is timing. Same as there is time for everything. But that's not the end of the story. If you read Ecclesiastes 3, it says it makes everything beautiful in its time. Another way I say that is that in the right time, everything comes out what? Beautiful. Amen? That's what God wants for you. Amen? That's what God wants for you. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given. Let me teach what I want to teach there, and then we'll move on back to the Holy Spirit power. You can see at the end of that place, it talks about, he said, we human beings give good gifts to our children. He said, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Firstly, I understand that the best gift that God can give me as a child of God is what? It's not a Cadillac. Amen. Amen. It's what? What? It's not a husband or a wife or children. And all those things are good in their right places. Amen? It's not money, but money is good too in its right place. Amen? What's the best gift the Father can give me? He said we. He said being evil means that, you know what I mean? Evil means that you are not perfect. You can still have selfish desires. Yeah? Even with our children, you can still be selfish. Amen? You can still be selfish with your children. The fact that you have children doesn't mean that you're going to give them all your resources. Amen? But the Father is perfect. Amen? He is not selfish. He's what? Perfect. He knows what you need. He doesn't just know what you want. He knows what? What you need. And he also knows the timing. But he said that what he wants to give you most is what? The Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the best gift. Amen? The Holy Spirit is what? You know why? The Holy Spirit is God. So when God gives you the Holy Spirit, he's giving you what? Himself. Amen? Hallelujah. He's giving you what? Himself. He's giving you himself. And see, when you have God, when you have God in you, yeah? What cannot be produced? Amen? Amen? If you have God in you, living in you, dwelling in you, his power overflowing you, what can you not face and overcome? Hallelujah. So the principle is this. Everyone who asks receives. If they ask properly. If I'm not receiving, I am not asking what? Properly. It could be a function of timing. It could be a function of, you know, not in his will. Not in accordance. It could be a function of unbelief. Unbelief is also a factor. You know, I pray for something, the next minute I'm saying that it can't happen. Huh? Hello? I pray that the Father should fill me with the Holy Spirit. The next minute I went to confess that I don't think I can ever speak in tongues. You see, unbelief has killed that prayer. Are you seeing that? I'm back to square one. No, square zero. Yeah, you get it? Yeah? So, we're not asking properly. When you ask properly, you ask in faith. You ask in accordance with his will. And you persist because you are convinced, yeah, that it's right and that you need it. And you're not going to take no for an answer. Look, if it's right, it's according to his will, and you're convinced that you need it, then you can't take no for an answer. Please, let me explain that again. Even with the issue of timing, you persist. Amen? He's a good father. Say, God is a good father. Like if I'm convinced that I need something, and I'm convinced that it's in accordance with God's will, it does not contradict righteousness, it does not contradict the word of God. In fact, in this particular case, it's what Jesus said, I need. He said, wait for the promise of the Father. He said, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave. Because you need this. If you didn't need it, I would have said you could go. It's not about your brain power. It's not about your smart presentation. You mean? You see, your smart presentation can move people, but they can't move demons. You mean? You need power. You mean? Your medical knowledge can explain sickness and disease, but it cannot heal sickness and disease. You need what? Power. Amen. You need what? Power. That's why I say don't go. So Jesus has said that you need it. Yeah? So when you are praying for it, you know you are praying in accordance with the will of God because he told you. So then, you will persist. You will persist. And say, you will persist until you have it. If you don't persist, you're not asking properly. You're not seeking. You're not knocking. Someone said, you know what? I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 10 years ago. You know? So I've been speaking in tongues for 10 years. But I look at your life. There's no power. There's no what? Power. You're a tongue-talking, powerless Christian. Hello? Are you with me? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive what?
Power.
So now, if you're in that state, what do you need? You need a refill. You need what? A refill. You need what?
Refill.
You see, Matthew 3:11. Open Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3:11 quickly. Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3:11. I said, my goal today is just to stir up your desire. I want to stir up your desire for the Holy Spirit power. Because this is in the plan of God for you. I know after this message, some people will still walk away and remain the same. But I pray that that will not be you. Amen. I pray that that will not be you. Jesus can be passing you by, and he will pass you by, because he did nothing. Hallelujah. When Jesus was passing Zacchaeus by, he said, no, no, he's not passing me by here. He shouted. He said, keep quiet. He shouted the louder. Hallelujah. He said, I want more. See, when you see you're running dry spiritually, you can't just settle like that and be part in it with your Bible knowledge. You're going to cry and say, Lord, I want more. If it's not happening, put some fasting to it. Hallelujah. Put what? Some fasting to it. Jesus, the Son of God, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. That's what he did. That time he fasted. But he did. He had to do it. Amen. He's showing us something there. Amen. He showed, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. When Apostle Paul, when he encountered Jesus, yeah? And then he was blinded by the light. He couldn't see. Yeah? When he entered Damascus, he fasted for 3 days and 3 nights. No food, no water. It's in the Bible. It's there. Before Ananias came and he received his sight and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But that was the start of his ministry. Amen? He didn't stay and say, I've encountered Jesus. He fasted and prayed. He's there. He's there. Acts is there. Check it. And then he entered something more. Amen? You can have more. Matthew 3:11, quickly. Matthew 3:11. I need to move in time. But yes, Matthew 3:11. Amen? I'm going to have like 3 series of these because I really want you to enter more. Matthew 3:11.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
He will baptize you with what? And what? Amen. Generously, 2 different things. But I like the way they put it there. See, some of you, yeah, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit before, you've spoken in tongues before, but you have no fire. Your fire has gone what? Cold. You know it. Amen. You know, when you have a cold stove, the flies can settle. Those flies, they are demons. It's in the Bible. It said the Beelzebub. Yeah? 2 translations is the prince of demons. Another one is the lord of the flies. So a model for demons are what? Flies. Amen? But if you want to make sure that the demons cannot settle on you, what do you need? Keep the stove hot. Amen? When it's hot, if they land, they burn. If they land what? They burn. Hallelujah. So, You have been baptized in the Spirit. You speak in tongues. There's no fire. Your passion for God is level 1/10. But you speak in tongues. Where's the fire? Where's the fire? So you're supposed to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and we want fire. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of fire. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you are full of power. If there's no fire, you need a refill. The reason is that this world is designed to drain you. It can happen. It happened to me. You can have a glorious week. Every day you were praying, fasting,
and the anointing of the Spirit is upon you. Yeah? You know that, yes, God's about to do something great. All the devil needs to do is find your favorite person to come and trip you up in one moment. They annoy you. They just do something that upsets you. And you did not guard yourself. You allowed it to sink in. As that upset is sinking in, all the anointing you've gathered for the whole week is draining out. Now, Baba said, the flesh, it wars against the spirit. And the spirit, there's contention. So now I asked myself, I said, wait a minute, what's the whole point? Denying myself of food, fasting. Then at the end of the week, just one move. You know, the devil is very crafty. You don't want to know craftiness. I mean, like, you don't know, you understand? You fasted. You denied yourself. You prayed. You sweated. Yeah? Then just one move. It's like chess. It will just send you. He knows who to send. Amen. He knows who to send. He knows them. They won't know that he's sending them. Yeah? They will just strip you. If you don't create the margin, all the anointing you've gathered will drain. He's crafty. That's one of the things. You have to beware of the flesh. You have to beware of offenses. And they will drain you. They will what? Then you will be dry. And if you're not careful, we said it on Friday, you allow bitterness and resentment to set in. Yeah? All your fire is gone. Amen? Yeah? Cold stuff! Then the flies will come. Amen? Are you with me? He came. He said, John said, I am baptizing with the person is coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And with what? And with fire. Amen? With fire. Say, I refuse to be a cold Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. Time is gone. I'll round up in 5 minutes. I want to show you two more things. Because there'll be part two and part three. Amen. I'm just stirring up your desire. You have to desire for more. I'm not just preaching to those who have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's your first experience. I'm speaking to those who have been baptized, but they've lost what? You are baptized, but you don't have power. Amen. You see, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is a continuous process. It's just like the life of faith. It's a continuous process. You cannot say, I came to Christ yesterday. Therefore, no matter what I do, I'm on my way to heaven. You must keep coming. Amen? You must what? Keep coming. You see, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come. But they must what? Come. Amen? They must what? Come. It's a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. We keep trusting. We keep depending. We keep obeying. You see, if I say I'm trusting God and I don't depend on Him, I'm not trusting. If I say I'm trusting God and I don't obey Him, I'm not trusting. Jesus said in John, He said, you see, if you love me, what will you do? You keep my commandment. There's no point to tell me that you love me if you're not going to obey me. Amen. If you love me, what will you do? That's a better way to tell God you love Him than just saying it. Amen? It's a living thing. It's a living thing. So, to be filled with Spirit is a living thing. It's a continuous process of desire and prayer. You're servicing the fire. Fire needs fuel. Fire needs what? Fuel. Anybody have a car? Non-electric. Anybody has an electric car first? If you have an electric car, please wave your hand. Electric car. I know that I'm going obsolete now. My car is not electric. So, when I see cars move around and there's hardly a sound, I'm thinking, did that car just move? And I know probably that's the future. But before then, if you have a car, you know that it needs what? When you want to drive from Basingstoke to Not, where is it not? Wait, give me a place in the north that you travel to. Yorkshire. What's the first thing you're going to check in your car? Fuel. You know. You need to maintain the fire. You need to keep the fire. Restock, refuel, restock, refuel, restock, restock. It's a living process. So that you can stay filled with the Spirit. So that you can be full of fire and full of power. The world will not help you. The world will drain you spiritually. You can be a spiritual giant. Yeah? Maybe when in your days in Nigeria. Anybody from Nigeria? Maybe in your days in Nigeria. You were what? A spiritual giant. You were hot and sizzling. Then, they now threw you flink into the UK. Amen. After 2 years, I didn't even say five, two. You're cold. And sister, you didn't come to church. I was just, this work is just too much. Your prayer life, dim. Fasting, dim. Evangelism, dim. Bible study, dim. Speaking in tongues, 5 minutes per day. You see, that's the enemy is crafty. Amen. Hallelujah. So desire is very important. Let me close with this. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Let's finish with that. And then we'll pray. And then we'll continue next week. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit power. Matthew 5 6. Matthew 5 6. Yeah? Let's read it. Two versions. Mike? Have you done any today?
Yes, I just
did. Good. Matthew 5 6. Anyone who has not read today? Anyone who has not read? Yes. Matthew 5 6. Please pay attention. Before you do that, can I encourage you? Go back and read the Gospels. Read the words of Jesus. He has much more to teach you about eternal life than any other person. Jesus has more to teach you about eternal life than Peter, Paul, John, and James added together. You know why? He was their rabbi. Amen? Hallelujah. He is the life. He what? He's the life. So now, what I want to teach you, Matthew 5, Jesus showed us the principle of being blessed. Is there? But we don't pay attention. There's a different type of blessing we're paying attention to. Yeah? The one unbelievers can like to. Amen. Always ask yourself a question. What differentiates me from the unbeliever? Yeah? If they take me and you and an unbeliever together now, what differentiates? You look alike, you dress alike, you talk alike. Yeah? There has to be a difference between the believer and what? The unbeliever. It's not just internal, it's also external. Because your heart is revealed in your actions. That's what Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them. Are you with me? There's going to be a difference. Otherwise, you will lack you won't have fire. Amen? Matthew 5, 6. Let's do that. Matthew 5, 6. Yes?
New Living Translation. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied.
Amen. Thank you for that. Although this time around, New Living has not satisfied me. New King James or King James? Yes. Matthew 5, 6. Please listen. Listen to this. And I'll teach you something, we'll finish.
New King James. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
That's a verse confirming Luke 11. Everyone who asks, what? Receives. Everyone who seeks, what? Finds. Everyone who knocks, the door shall be open. Sometimes your asking can be as simple as you start coming to church every Sunday. You have already started seeking. You're going somewhere. Some other person will say, come, they won't come.
He said, I need God to help me. I need God to save me. I need God to deliver me from my problems. But come,
they won't come.
Or they come, the moment they hear something that doesn't sit right, they run away. But if you're a good seeker, you keep coming. Hallelujah. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Why? They shall be filled. They shall be filled. If I want more of the Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? You must hunger and thirst for it. You must ask for it. You must seek for it. You must knock for it. Why are you seeking? Why are you asking to the Father? It must be a constant feature. You can enhance your asking by prayer and fasting. It's in the Bible. Amen? But because when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. You shall be filled. You shall what? Be filled. That's why you are blessed. So I want to tell you, you are a blessed person when you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Amen? Because you will be filled. And let me tell you, the blessing is that you have the power to live differently from the corruption and the perversion in the world. The corruption in the world is not just financial, it's spiritual. The spiritual corruption. It's all corrupt. The wheat and the tares are mixed. But you need power. Amen? You need power to live differently. You need power to be on fire. Amen? But it starts with your desire. So the prayer today, let's rise up, is Lord, I want more of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I want what? More of the Holy Spirit. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you never, let me simplify that. You've never had an experience where you knew that the Holy Spirit came upon you. That's what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then you want to pray and say, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to come upon me. He said the promise is impart the Spirit on all flesh. All. That means you are not disqualified. It doesn't matter your journey. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've handed over your life to Him, you are qualified to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus paid for it. You subscribe to it by faith. So pray and say, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit to come upon me. And if you've experienced that before, what are you asking for? More, Lord, more. Because if you don't seek for more, your fire will grow cold. Pray. There's no young. You say your sons and your daughters.